We've done a week of prayer and fasting as a church. I hope you took some time to pray to the Lord and to fast the Lord. If you know your Bible says it's not if you fast, it's when you fast, yeah? So it's part of spiritual principles that we do. And when we fast, the Lord, our sincerity of our hearts change, don't they? It's showing that our spirits are stronger than our bodies, stronger than our minds. And I don't know if you can sense it in the room, but God is here. God is here. And the first service this morning, the move of the Holy Spirit, to say it in Corkies, was off the wall, was mad. And I'm expectant for the Lord to move again. Are you expectant today? You don't come to the house of God for no reason, right? You come to the house of God, you might have other reasons. You might want to see people. You might want to get out of the house. I get all that. But I hope you come here or to any church to experience the living God. And to hear what he has to say and to dwell in his love and his presence. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it, when the people of God come together. Will we pray before we begin? This is a house of prayer, amen? Yes. Amen. Will you stand wherever you're at? You just want to honour the Lord. And if you want to close your eyes, it helps us concentrate. And in grace, we lift our hands because the Bible tells us to. It's a sign of surrender, a sign of praising God and being open to him. So if you wanted to receive from God, you'll have your hands open. Lord, put something in my hand today, amen? Amen. So let's pray. Hallelujah. Amen. God, we acknowledge your presence in this place. And before we ask for anything, Lord, we first want to ask for your forgiveness. Amen. Stir our hearts, search our hearts right now for whatever we sinned in. None of us are perfect. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. And we come humbly before you today and say to you, Lord, we're sorry. And we make a choice right now, Lord, to forgive those who we need to forgive as well. We want to be pure in your presence. We don't want any unforgiveness or sin blocking us from you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So hear our prayer, Lord. I pray, God, as we listen to your word, as we hear what you have to say, that things would come to life. The things that are dead in our lives, Lord, breathe over them by your Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, as your spirit moves in this place, you would move in us. The things that are stagnant, the things that haven't moved in years, God, let there be a rush of your Holy Spirit this morning. We pray for miracles in this place. We have been praying and fasting. You are a God of miracles, and your miracles are still for today. They're not just Bible stories. You are a God of miracles. Move in a new way this morning, Heavenly Father. We want a fresh power, wind of your Holy Spirit in this place. So we honour you, Lord. We believe your word. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We trust what you say. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
And we thank you in advance for what you are going to do. And the people of God said,
amen.
Amen. Give the Lord a round of applause. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You can grab a seat. You can grab a seat. Hallelujah. The Lord is here. The Lord is here. Did we like Pastor Michael's jigging and dancing?
Yes.
He has lovely legs, doesn't he? The footwork and everything. Elma, you must have a great time at home, girl, watching him on the ones and twos. We've many talents here in Grace, many talents. But the title of today's word is Miracle Milestones. And we used to have a thing in Grace called First Fridays. Does anyone remember them?
Yes.
Okay, some people remember them. When we came out of COVID, all we had was like Sunday service. So we used to do on the first Friday of a month a night service. And then the church exploded and we have so many groups meeting during the week. We don't need to keep doing it. But last year, during this week of prayer and fasting, I shared this word, miracle milestones. And I was talking to Pastor Mike during the week, we were on the phone, and I was saying, what do you think I should talk about? Obviously, it's prayer and fasting. And he said, would you not share the word that you got last year? Because we talked about Ebenezer, you're going to hear about it in a moment. So the Holy Spirit confirmed. And by the response in the first service to the Holy Spirit, God is in this word. There's no confusion about it. So if you've came here today and you're wanting to hear from God, you're in the right place. Amen. God's going to speak. And miracles, like I prayed, they're not just for the Bible. They're for today. God is a God of miracles. If God has ever done a miracle in your life, will you put a hand up? Okay, will you take a look around at the room? Do you see all these miracles in the room? Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Some of them, we don't have a clue. Some of them, you won't know unless you ask. Some people are very public with them. But miracles happen when you can't do anything to change the situation. You don't have the money. You're not getting any better. You don't know where the provision is going to come from. You don't know how you're going to get through it. But God makes a way. God does a miracle. And you know it's a miracle because you're going, my back is up against the wall. The time has run out. God is going to have to come through. And when you experience a miracle of God, no one can tell you that it wasn't God. Amen. Amen. And what we're going to look at today is these miracle milestones. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, they used physical things a lot to remember what God has done. And one of the things they used were physical stones. So that's the context of what we're looking at today. Are you praying for a miracle in your life today?
Yes.
I am.
Yes, I am.
And we're going to have faith and believe that God is still a God of miracles. Amen. He is still able. His promises are what?
Yes
and amen.
Amen.
So that's what we're looking at today. So here's the first point for today is this. Repent or repeat. People are like, oh, I did not come to church for this one. No. Repent or repeat. Repent isn't a word that we use in everyday English, but it means to say sorry to God. And we literally prayed that at the start. We asked Jesus to forgive our sins, didn't we? Repentance is you've done something wrong and you go back to God. And what we can learn from the Bible is themes that apply to our life. And what we see in this passage of scripture that we're going to look at is the people of Israel, God's chosen people, they don't repent. And then it gets worse and worse. Everything just keeps repeating and doubling down. And it's the same in our lives, brothers and sisters. When we don't repent to God on something, it just gets repeated. Sometimes it's so severe what gets repeated, it gets passed on to generations. The blessings can get passed on, but also the mistakes can get passed on. And Ebenezer is a word that we're going to read in a moment. And what it means is stone of help. Stone of help. I don't know about you, but I need God's help today. I need his help. And we're going to look at 1 Samuel 4. And Ebenezer, this place for the people of Israel, God's chosen people, has become a place of loss and failure. And in my life, and I can imagine in most people's lives here, there's places of loss and failure. Maybe it was the college course you didn't finish and you dropped out. It's the relationship that didn't work. It's the church that you left. It's the marriage that broke up. There's places in our lives and they feel like places of loss and victory, or loss and failure. And we all have them. And if you don't have them, you're probably going to get them at some point, because that's how life works. So here's what we see with the people of Israel. They're in this place, and it's not good. And the people of Israel are about to go into battle with the Philistines, and they don't pray, they don't fast, and they don't confess their sins. Now, thank God we live in a country where we're not fighting the British or the Americans. There's no guns or bombs, or isn't there?
Yeah.
We hope so. June, if it goes that way, we're goosed. We're not fighting in the physical, but we face battles every day. There's battles up here. There's battles in our homes. There's battles in work. If you have a manager who's on your back and you're battling in a Monday morning, there's battles to fight for your family. There's battles to fight for your life. We face these battles every day. And the people of Israel going into a significant battle, they don't bring God into it. It looks like they do, but in their hearts they don't. And here's what happens, because they don't pray, they don't fast, they don't confess their sin. They go into this battle and they lose their first one, and 4,000 people die. It's a bad day at the office, isn't it? 4,000 people die. They didn't bring God into it. And in fact, their response after the first battle is this, 1 Samuel 4:3. Why did the Lord allow us to be defeated by the Philistines? That's their response. Now, I don't know about you, but that seems quite an arrogant, ignorant response when they didn't even ask the Lord if he was in it. Am I wrong?
No.
Why did the Lord allow us to be defeated? And we can do this in our lives, brothers and sisters. Sometimes we step into battles and we think as we're going to church or we're praying in general, it doesn't matter unless the Lord has gone before you, isn't that right? Those things are important, but unless God has told you to do it, you shouldn't do it. And they go into this and they go, why has this happened to me, Lord? And we can be the same. And maybe you're here today and you feel like you're after a loss. You lost it. You lost your cool. Feel like you lost your mind. You lost the relationship. Can I encourage you, stop where you're at and turn to the Lord and ask him, God, what did I do wrong? Direct my steps is what the book of Proverbs says the Lord does to us. Sometimes we just get a step wrong. But here's what the people of Israel do. They don't repent. They keep going. And here's what I mean by repent or repeat. Because they don't go back to God, look what happens. They lose the second battle and 30,000 people die. And then they have the Ark of the Covenant, which in the Old Testament represents God's presence. And it gets stolen from them. Gets stolen from them. The very thing that they have of the Lord gets stolen. And then their leader of it all, he dies to top it all off. And this guy, Eli, he had two sons in that battle. Both his sons die. But that's not what he dies over. He dies over losing the Ark of the Covenant, God's presence. And if you read it in Samuel 4, he falls over and breaks his neck. That's how he dies. Isn't that crazy? He's not crying over his sons. He's crying over the Ark of the Covenant. You should read about his life, because him as a father was a hot mess, to say the least. Three. So it's loss after loss. If you feel like you've lost a battle, don't double down and keep going. Stop. Turn back to the Lord. God is a gracious God. Amen. Amen. He takes us back with open arms. He's a God of grace and forgiveness and mercy. His mercies are new what? Every morning. You can come back to God. Just turn in your heart to the Lord. And we see with the people of Israel, these are meant to be God's people. They try to use God to win their battle. They're trying to manipulate God. And we can do the same too, brothers and sisters. We want the promotion. We want the person to like us. We need the extra money. We can manipulate things. But that's not of God. When something's of God, there's such a blessing in it, isn't there? You don't have to work for it a lot of the time. God wants us to work, but there's a grace in it. And here's what we see. They do rituals without repentance. They bring this Ark of the Covenant, God's presence, into battle. And it looks holy and it looks as if they're men of God, but in their hearts they're very far from God. And they don't repent. And here's my point with all of this. We have all of these prayer stations today and upstairs. And it's communion, it's I forgive, it's planting mustard seeds of faith. It's come Holy Spirit. If we do this and it's not in our hearts, it's just a ritual. If it's in your hearts and there's repentance, that's when God moves. Brothers and sisters, we're not a church of rituals. We won't be that type of church. We're real people, what?
Yes.
Come on. So you come with hearts that are repentant. And that's when you pray. That's when you lay it down. And here's what we see in 1 Samuel 7. So the people of Israel, complete loss, failure, completely messed it up. And they have this new leader called Samuel. And he takes this place called Ebenezer. And it's reclaimed as a place of victory. And God can do the same in your life. The places that you feel are dead, that you lost, that you messed up, by the power of the Holy Spirit, watch God bring dead things back to life. Watch him restore what's been stolen. Hallelujah. Place of victory it becomes. Watch what he does. Then Samuel, their leader, said to the people of Israel, if you want to return to the Lord with all your hearts, get rid of your foreign gods and images of Ashtoreth. Goes on to say, turn your hearts to the Lord and what? Obey him alone. Then he will rescue you from the Philistines. So the Israelites got rid of their images of Baal and Ashtoreth and worshipped only the Lord. If you're here today and you want to return to the Lord, there's people here, you want to return to God. And it might be you've just drifted in your heart. It might be you haven't talked to God in years. You have the chance today. Today is the day of salvation and restoration. So if you want to return to God, you do it with all your heart. And watch the three things that you need to do. Get rid of your foreign gods. They worshipped physical golden things, statues. In our world, it's anything that you put above God, that's what you're worshipping. So you might be worshipping a person, your appearance, your phone, your money, your, I don't know, wealth, your education. You can worship the rituals more than you worship God. Anything you put above God, you need to put God back in first place.
Amen.
And you choose to do that in your heart. So that's the first thing. If I'm coming back to God, I got to put him in his right place. There is no other God above God. Here's the second thing you do. Turn your heart to the Lord. Completely give your heart back to the Lord. And then finally, what's the third thing? Obey him alone. Only what the word of God says. Only what God says. And then what will he do? He will rescue you.
Amen.
We were in our prayer service this morning, awaken, and Pastor Tom said to people, if you had a one sentence prayer, what would it be? And there was a handful of people who said, God, save me. Save me. If you need saving, you need rescuing. And I know a savior and his name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And he's still in the business of it. This is what you need to do. So the people of Israel in Ebenezer messed up and lost. But when they turned their hearts to God, when they worshipped only the Lord at the bottom, everything changes. It comes to a place of victory. Here's what they do. They trust God to win their battles. We sung it today. That God, this is how we fight our battles. That we trust God. The battle belongs to
the Lord.
To the Lord. When we get involved in God's things and try to manipulate his timing, it's always a mess. We'll always get it wrong. But when you trust the Lord, what's say in Proverbs 3? Trust the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. And he will what? Make your path straight. Straight. I don't have to look left or right. I don't have to watch around the bend. Because my path is straight with God. They trusted God to win their battle. And here's what happens. 1 Samuel 7. Just as Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering. That's what they did in Old Testament times to God. Sacrificed offerings. The Philistines, their enemies, arrived to attack Israel. But the Lord, hallelujah,
Amen.
Spoke with the mighty voice of thunder from heaven that day, and the Philistines were thrown into such confusion that the Israelites defeated him. They were about to be attacked again. They've lost so many times to these Philistines. But the difference was spiritually they were prepared. They weren't the bigger army. They didn't have the best tactics and strategies, but they had the Lord. Brothers and sisters, it's the same in your life. You might feel like you're being attacked from left and right and behind. You might feel like you have no people on your side. But if you do things God's way, you have the Lord. It's but the Lord. The money isn't there, but the Lord. I can't get out of the bed, but the Lord. I don't know how I'm going to survive, but the Lord. How am I going to look at this, but the Lord. That's when God makes a way. And for you going into the week ahead, for some people, that's what you need to remember. But the Lord, I gave it to God today. I dealt with it in my heart. So I'm going to trust him in the week ahead. And the miracle milestone, watch this. Watch what happens. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer, which we know means stone of help. Saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. Can anyone give testimony? Are there any people of God in the building who can say, thus far the Lord has helped me?
Yes.
Can I see some hands up in here?
Yes.
Can I see some people of faith? Has the Lord helped you thus far?
Yes.
Do you declare it?
Yes.
Do you proclaim it? Hallelujah. And he'll still help you. Thus far the Lord has kept you. And he will continue to do so. But what we learn from the people of Israel, when their hearts were right with God, there was victory. God blessed them. But when they didn't repent, everything just kept repeating. Brothers and sisters, let us be people who are humble enough before our God, our King, to repent and say sorry. so that we can engage in all of these things. I can ask for forgiveness. I can thank Jesus for the cross. I can plant a seed of faith. I can pray for family salvation. God is going to hear my prayer because my heart is right. Because my heart is right. Here's the next one. Mark your miracle. Mark your miracle. We already know that most people in this room have experienced a miracle from God. But God has more miracles to do. Amen. Amen. Here's what we see in Scripture. When a miracle happened, they didn't just say thank you, Jesus, and move on. They did something physical to help them remember the miracle. And it's a miracle milestone is what we're going to look at again here in the book of Joshua. Here's what it reads. Joshua says, "We will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them, they remind us, brothers and sisters, we need reminding, that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across." That was the miracle. The river stopped flowing. Something that shouldn't happen in the natural happened because of the supernatural move of God. And the Lord's Covenant went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever. If you've experienced a miracle in your life, do something to mark it. Some people have parties. Do you know Jesus loved a party?
Yes.
You're allowed to party, yeah? Just don't sin in it. Throw a party. There's jewellery that I own that marks certain miracles. Every time I see a certain watch, it reminds me of a miracle that God's done in my life. Some people plant trees in their homes, and that marks the miracle. Some people have the doctor's letter up on their wall that says, "The cancer is gone, you are healed," up on their wall. That's the miracle. Brothers and sisters, are you ready to give testimony to the miracle of God in your lives? When someone asks, is there something that can stir a conversation with them? These things help us remember because we forget. In the moment when the miracle happens, we go, "Thank you, Jesus." But when we need the next miracle, don't we forget it? We forget what God provided then. Or God made a way then, or God restored then. That's why these physical things are so important. Can I encourage you? Whatever your miracle is, have it somewhere that you see it every day. Mark your miracles. And here's my last one. God moved this mountain. Oh my days. Does anyone need a mountain in their life that needs to be moved?
Yes.
I do. Oh my God. Thank you, Juvie. Thanks, girl. If you're a Christian any length of time, usually there's things that we pray for and it feels like a mountain. A mountain that can't be moved. Now, the Bible talks about having mustard seeds of faith and that God can move a mountain. So our God is able, amen?
Amen.
But when you're praying years or decades for things, it's hard. It's hard. And I want to share my mountain with you. Is that okay?
Yes.
Can I trust you?
Yes.
No, who said that? Some of you might have heard this before, but most of the room probably hasn't. Has anyone been to Atlanta before? Because there was someone in the first service. Okay. Is anyone from Atlanta? No, good. Atlanta's crazy, don't go. That's the bottom line. Don't go to Atlanta. But I was there a few years ago twice as part of youth leaders training. I went there to the other side of the world. And you know, even talking now, sometimes God has to take you to the other side of the world to speak to you.
Yes.
I wasn't hearing God at home.
Yes.
And I remember being over there, and there's this national park called Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. And we went on a field trip. That's what they call it in America. In Ireland, you just say we're going on a bus somewhere. But it's a field trip there. It's true. And there's all of these youth leaders from all over America. Big churches like Elevation Worship, all of them. They all had their youth leaders. And there's Dara Burke there from Ireland in the middle of them. And the woman leading it was a woman in her 70s, a woman of God called Jeannie Mayo. And she had us sit at the base of Stone Mountain, and it was a beautiful spring day. And she said, I want you to grab a stone from here, and this is my stone. And she said, I want you to put your name on it, the date. I want you to put what you want to be known for, and I want you to put your biggest prayers on the stone. So I wrote Dara Burke, because my parents couldn't be bothered giving me a middle name. Hallelujah. The date is the 5th of March, 2019. So this week it's about to be 7 years. And what I wanted to be known for was a person of integrity, love, and heart. But the prayers that are on the stone, 7 years later, even this week, they're still not answered. I'm still waiting on God. And even this week, there's people I'm talking to and they're praying the same prayers as I am, in the same situations, and our hearts are broken. Just because you're a pastor doesn't mean that God is answering all your prayers. Just in case you want to become one, it doesn't work that way. And I'm still waiting on the Lord. And it's still my mountain. And when we were writing on these stones, there was a song playing. And it was so funny because I was had my worship on this morning. I was praying for the services. And the song came on. Same song. My iPod, hear me. My Spotify was on shuffle. And the song is called Build My Life. Do you know it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in love to those around. Here's my favorite verse. Says to build your life in the rock. But sometimes when you're looking at the mountain that's not moving, it can feel very harsh. It can feel lonely. It can feel discouraging. And sometimes it can feel like you're doing something wrong. And I believe the Lord would say to people today who are like me, you're praying for this mountain. Keep your eyes on the Lord.
Amen.
Your help comes from the Lord.
Amen.
And if you are doing something wrong, and if you love the Lord with all your heart, He'll show you. He'll show you. But you and I, including me, Miss Dara Burke, all the way from Cork, Carrigaline, I have a choice. As I'm praying, as I'm seeking God, and my prayers, the stone and the weight of it that I hold at times, not just physically, but feel it spiritually, I have to choose, do I still have faith in God?
Yeah.
Is God still a God of miracles? Is He still more than able? Can He take the impossible and make it possible? And there's people here today like me, and you just need reminding. He's still a God of miracles.
Amen.
He can still move mountains. Mightn't be in my time, I mightn't get all His ways, but just because God doesn't answer my prayers in the way that I want doesn't mean that He's not at work. Doesn't mean that He still doesn't have perfect timing. Still doesn't mean that His ways aren't the best. It is. It's the best. But the waiting is hard. The waiting is hard. But can I commit and submit that we have the mustard seeds of hope today, mustard seeds of faith today, excuse me. For those of us who need mountains moved, and I include myself, don't give up.
Amen.
Don't be like the people of Israel. Why is God allowing this? Instead, I'm turning to God and saying, I'm still trusting you. I'm still building my life in you, Lord. I'm still waiting. And when God answers those prayers, because God hasn't told me no, right? In my prayer, God hasn't said, Dara, that's not happening, girl. In fact, it's been the opposite. God has confirmed all the way along. So I still need to trust him in it.
Yes.
And we talked about it, trust in the Lord with all your heart. I'm not leaning on my own understanding. In the natural, it's not making sense. But I don't trust the natural. I trust a supernatural God.
Amen.
And I hope you do too.
Amen.
So as we looked at all of these today, I don't know where you're at with them, but maybe before we do these in your heart, you need to repent. Because you don't want to repeat it. Hallelujah. We can come back to God. He loves us and accepts us just the way that we are. But we don't have to stay the way we are. Maybe you need to mark your miracle today. You're going, thank you, Lord, for it, but I need something tangible so that I remember, so that I can testify to the goodness of God. And maybe you're like me, and you're just going, God, I need you to move the mountain. I still have faith. I still have hope. You're still God. You're still in control. But I just want to submit and commit to you again on that. Yeah.